Good morning, and welcome to our worship service on this Epiphany Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. O Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and our minds so that our worship truly does come from our heart, that we give praise to your holy name. And we pray that our worship would be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sins. May you fill us with the only wisdom, the true wisdom of your salvation in Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Hail, O Source of Every Blessing. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this Epiphany Sunday is a reading from the Old Testament, a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. And in this prophecy, we see that God had planned from the beginning to reveal his Son Jesus, the Savior, to the Gentiles. The word nations is the word that is often translated Gentiles in the Bible. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. Look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples. But the Lord will dawn upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. Nations, and again that's the word for Gentiles, will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look up, look all around and see. All of them have been gathered. They are coming to you. Your sons will come from far away, and people will carry your daughters on their side. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will race with excitement and burst with joy. For great riches from the sea will be delivered to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Caravans of camels will cover your land. Young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will carry gold and incense, and they will announce the good news of the praise of the Lord. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hallelujah.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Our second reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 3. We read verses 2 through 12. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Paul writes here about a mystery. And in the New Testament, the word mystery means something that only God can reveal. And part of the mystery that we celebrate and focus on during the Epiphany season and Epiphany Sunday is the fact that God has now revealed this salvation to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews, his Old Testament chosen people. Paul writes, "Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace given to me for you, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. When you read this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mysteries of Christ. This mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. I became a servant of this gospel in keeping with the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. To me, even though I am the very least of all the saints, was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about the administration of this mystery. In past ages, this mystery remained hidden in God who created all things. He did this so that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was done according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, we can freely approach God with confidence through faith in him. Here ends our second reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite forward our newly elected church officers of our church council for their installation. Dear brothers in Christ, you have been elected in an annual meeting of this congregation as members of our church council. As such, you are to join with me in the work of building up the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that our worship services are held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel is preached in its truth and purity in accordance with the teachings of Scripture as put forth in the Lutheran confessions, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer to the earthly affairs of this congregation, to keep its property in good repair, and provide for our called workers and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist me, the pastor, in the care of our members, including those who are sick and needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members of our congregation, in the promotion of the general welfare of this congregation, and in the furtherance of the kingdom of Christ, both at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set for your own households and for the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order then that our congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you now in the presence of God and in this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives to you? If so, answer by saying, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I now extend to you the office to which you have been elected. And I charge you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of his church, of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your duties with untiring faithfulness. Make the word of God your guide, and search it daily for instruction. And to the end that your ministries may serve for the glory of God, for the best interests of our congregation, and for your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, give you a rich measure of his grace, and bless abundantly your faithful labors. Let's join our hearts in prayer. O most merciful and gracious God, you are an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows. We pray for Jesus' sake that you would send down your Holy Spirit upon these men that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need, they may, by prayer and supplication, make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may build up this congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them as a blessing for your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with me, their pastor, and grant also by their service that the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name be hallowed, your kingdom enlarged, and your will done. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Depart in peace. I invite the congregation to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed, on the middle of page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Arise and Shine in Splendor.
Thank you. Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Dear faithful followers of the miraculous star of Jacob, Jesus Christ Himself. Dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. This is the account of the wise men's visit to Jesus, the traditional gospel reading for the Sunday of Epiphany. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, when Herod was king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. He gathered together all the people's chief priests and experts in the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, because this was written through the prophet. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are certainly not least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report to me so that I may also go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Then the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. After they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Since they had been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our sermon for Christmas Day, we looked at several examples from the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2 to see how we can truly celebrate Christmas. In that sermon, we looked at some examples from the Christmas story, the example of Mary, who treasured up and pondered in her heart the salvation that this Christ child who was born to her came to bring. We look at the example of the shepherds, who praise God for this revelation of his salvation in the Christ child, and then spread that good news widely. And in that sermon, we also looked at Jesus, who is the reason for Christmas, the focus of Christmas, but is also the perfect example of forgiving love that we want to rejoice in and emulate in our lives, not just on Christmas Day, but every day. So today, as we come to the beginning of a new season of the church year, Epiphany, and technically yesterday was the day of Epiphany. We usually celebrate it on the Sunday that's closest to Epiphany Day. We ask the question, how do we celebrate Epiphany? What do we do? Are there family gatherings planned and special meals to be eaten today? And if they are, let me get ahead of this, and we'll just make the traditional meal for Epiphany be shrimp and steak, right? We need to have some church festival be that, the meal that we have traditionally during this season. Are there presents to be opened today? Are there lights to be lit? Are there Epiphany trees to put up? Ironically, no. Usually on Epiphany Sunday, which we are doing today, we actually take down the Christmas decorations. We end the Christmas season and begin the season of Epiphany by taking down the decorations that we had up for the Christmas season. But thankfully, just like in our Christmas sermon, we have in our text the examples of how to celebrate Epiphany. Examples from the men who were there at the very first Epiphany. So first, let's look at the meaning and importance of Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that means to reveal or to show, or if you want to be sort of old school, you'd say manifest. That's what the word Epiphany means, to reveal, to show, or to manifest something. An epiphany is sometimes called the Gentile Christmas because it is the celebration of God showing His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior to the Gentiles, those who were non-Jews. And these wise men who came from the East were exactly that. They were not Jewish people, they were Gentiles. In His epiphany to these wise men, Jesus then is revealing Himself as the Savior to all nations, all races of people, not just the Jews. That's good news for all of us, especially for those of us who are not Jews, those of us who are Gentiles. Epiphany reminds us that Jesus has come to be our Savior as well. On this festival of Epiphany, we celebrate Him showing Himself to us, we Gentile Christians, through His very own words, the Scriptures. This points us to our first example we see in our text of how to celebrate Epiphany. We see it in the example and the actions of the wise men in our text, because the first thing they do is they seek Jesus. Often when we think of this Epiphany account, we think of the wise men following that miraculous star to find Jesus. And that's true. It's what they did. You can see that very clearly from the text. But when we consider the question, why did they seek Jesus with such determination and trust and joy, we find out very quickly that it was more than just a miraculous star that led them to Jesus. What is it that gave these men such determination, such trust, and such joy when they found the Christ child? Well, it's the same thing that causes us to seek Jesus in our lives, the very words of God Himself. These wise men were fueled not by what seemed logical or intelligent according to their very well-educated minds, but they were fueled by the very words of the Old Testament Scriptures themselves. They were moved by God's Word. Those holy words of God that were likely passed down to them, likely from men like Daniel, the captives in Babylon, who likely were the ones who passed down these words of God for hundreds of years, until these wise men came. So what about that miraculous star? What was that star all about? Well, in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, there is a prophecy that calls the coming Messiah the Star of Jacob. But that prophecy is referring to Jesus, not to a physical star in the sky, although it is significant that that term is used for Jesus, the Star of Jacob. So God somehow must have made it known to these wise men that this star would lead them to the Christ child, because we hear them confidently telling the people of Jerusalem, "We saw His star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him." It was God-given faith that caused these men to go over what was most likely many miles of desert and rough terrain. Remember, traveling back then was not as safe or as easy as it is today. And this faith was what gave them such determination and trust that they would find the Messiah, the Christ, in the place where God had led them. Are we wise enough to do the same? Do we still seek Jesus today? And do we know even where to look for Him? Well, of course we do. You know and I know He's found in the very same place where the wise men sought and found Jesus in the very words of God. In that Word of God is where we find Jesus. There and there alone are where we find Jesus and the salvation that God has brought to us in Jesus. In that Word and in that Word alone are life, forgiveness, and salvation. And as we can see from our text, the wise men did more than just seek Jesus. You've heard that expression sometimes around this time of year, wise men still seek Jesus. Let's remember that they also found Him, right? They sought and found Jesus. And when they found Him, they knew exactly what to do. Our text says they worshiped Jesus. It says, after they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshiped Him. What a visual that is. These wise men from a foreign country coming, they find this infant, this baby boy, and they bow down and worship him. These wise men in our text were true wise men because they wholeheartedly believed the words of God concerning this baby boy, God's son, Jesus Christ. They didn't do what so many modern biblical scholars do and try to interpret the scriptures figuratively, as if God didn't literally mean that his son would be really truly born, a true man, to a true virgin. No, they set out in faith looking for an actual child. And when they found the place where he was, they didn't look around and say, well, we were under the impression this little baby was going to be a king, and we're not in a palace, so I guess we're in the wrong place. This was all a big mistake. We're sorry to trouble you, Mary and Joseph. We're going to go home. Good night. No, they followed the star to the place where Jesus was, and upon seeing him, they bowed down and worshiped him. Again, remarkable. They were not offended by the lowliness and humbleness of Jesus and his family. They weren't ashamed to bow to an infant Lord. Didn't even ask for, how is this all possible? Give us an explanation, Lord. How is this tiny child God himself, the Savior of the world? They simply believed. They believed and they dropped to their knees and worshiped him as the King of Kings. We Christians are considered anything but wise men by some of the intellectually elite, those who are very well educated in our society today. Many people see our simple faith in Jesus Christ as both true God and true man as being not smart or wise, but actually foolish. And we are ridiculed for being so small-minded. And yet God in our text, or God in his word, tells us just who are truly wise and who are truly foolish. Listen to these words from Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." These wise men acknowledged Jesus as their king. They worshiped him. As a sign of their love and loyalty and devotion to him, they gave him some very precious gifts from their heart. And in that we find our third example of how to celebrate Epiphany. We present our gifts to Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't actually add any significance or symbolism to the gifts that the wise men brought, but it simply tells us, "Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so these gifts not only show the wise men's love for Jesus, but also in a very practical sense, these gifts were a great blessing to Mary and Joseph, and of course also to Jesus. They were a great blessing to them because do you remember how the rest of this account plays out in Matthew chapter 2? Let's read the verses that follow our sermon text for today and remember and remind ourselves just what happened. The verses that follow our sermon text tell us this. "Now when they," that is the wise men, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother to flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son." It is very likely that they used these valuable gifts that the wise men gave them to support them and to provide for them as they took this long journey to Egypt and stayed there, lived there for quite some time. Apply that to our lives as well. The same things are true about our gifts that we present to Jesus. Whether it is our talents, our time, or the treasures of our own money that we give in offerings to God. Much like the wise men, we present our gifts to Jesus to, one, show our love for Him, to show our devotion and our loyalty to Him, but also, secondly, to bless other people. That is how and why God wants us to use our gifts and give our offerings, to show our love for Him and to bless other people, just like the wise men's gifts did as well. Think about the Savior that you are kneeling before in spirit like the wise men did on that first Epiphany day. Think of the great gift that this infant Savior, who would grow up and live a perfect life for us, think of the gifts that He would give to us. The perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the perfect Savior who has come not merely to show us the way to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Those mansions that He is preparing for us in heaven. The fact that Jesus has done these things for us, yes, even us Gentile Christians, or it move us to give us the gift that Jesus desires the most from us. That is our hearts. And so I guess you could say then that much like Christmas, we associate Epiphany with giving gifts as well. The infinite gifts that God has given to all Christians of all nations through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the gifts that we give in return from our thankful hearts. Let's always thank and praise God that through His Word, He has made all of us true wise men through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And let's continue to be true wise men, true wise women, true wise children who follow the example of the wise men on that first Epiphany and still seek Jesus, worship Jesus, and present our gifts to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Retain me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free Spirit. Amen.
If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. Are there any prayer requests for today? Yes, Marianne. Sure.
I have an answer to prayer. Remember my doctor last summer, I asked for prayers because he had brain cancer.
For who again? For
my the doctor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. Yep.
He sent me an email on Christmas Day. He told me that the cancer was disappearing. He can almost speak like a human being again.
Oh.
And he has difficulty finding words. But this is really an answer to prayer because he thought he would be dead by now.
Wow.
And he's not. So that's a
praise God for that. Thank you for remembering that in the prayer request also. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, John.
Yeah, thank you. I do an inventory of Macy's when I'll get sick. It's a tough time.
Pray for her as well. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. Help us to follow you that we may never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We thank and praise you, Jesus, that you are our good shepherd and also not just the light of the world, but also our great and heavenly physician. We come before you asking for health and strength for the following people. We pray for Marianne's sister, who has been diagnosed with blood cancer. Please give her the strength she needs in her body. Give her the treatment that she needs to recover fully from this cancer, if it be your will. But most importantly, Lord, strengthen her faith in you during this difficult time and help her to seek you in comfort and strength that is found in your word. We thank and praise you that Marianne's doctor friend, who was suffering from brain cancer, has been recovering from it in what appears to be a miraculous way. We thank you for that gift of health that you've given him and pray that it would continue. Most importantly, Lord, please draw him to you in your word and help him to know you as his Savior from sin. Please be with Peggy and give her strength as she continues her work at Macy's and does inventory during this day and this week. Give her the ability to do her work well and help her to be a light to people that she works with, that they may see your love and reflect her love for you in her life. Dear Jesus, as men were led by the brightness of your light to come and worship you, we ask you to illuminate our hearts that the veil of darkness and death may be lifted from our eyes and that we may see the salvation of our God. We believe that you are the Word made flesh and that you dwell among us. Use this blessed season of Epiphany to help us see your glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, that you may be grace and truth to us. Increase in us the desire to support with our gifts and our prayers the mission to people everywhere who have not seen the light, that your kingdom may ring with praises for you from men and women of every tribe, nation, and tongue. We ask these things in your name, dear Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, As with Gladness, Men of Old.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue our service on the top of page 10 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We now join in praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. At this time, we ask those who are communicant members of our congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession receive the Lord's Supper at this time. We begin with those who prefer to receive the Lord's Supper from the pew. Please get out your communion packets now. Please take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now I invite our communicant members who'd like to receive the Lord's Supper here at the altar to come forward at the direction of our usher. May this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true Christian faith.
Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 13.
According to
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is "The Star Proclaims the King is Here." I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book and welcome you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for today and then for this week. Following our service, we'll be doing the Christmas undecorating. As I mentioned in the sermon, we'll be taking down the Christmas decorations and the Christmas tree. For those who are able to stay and help, there's also a lunch that will be provided for you after the undecorating is done. This afternoon, I'll be heading up to Hayward for their worship service at 1 p.m. We'll have the installation of their church council in that service as well, and an annual reports meeting for their congregation at 2 p.m. after the service. Today is also the goodbye service for the church that we rent from, Grace Lutheran, and it is changing hands to the church they're kind of being melded together with in Hayward. For now, the situation they said is going to be the same for us for the next 6 months, but there is some speculation about what's going to happen in the future. So please pray for our sister congregation in Hayward that they'd kind of keep things status quo for us and allow us to still rent and use the facility there. It's been a great blessing to that small group, and we pray that the Lord would keep us there in the coming years. For this week, our school resumes tomorrow at 8:15. Christmas break ends and school begins tomorrow at 8:15. Tuesday, we're back to Bible instruction class with Gary at 11:30, and then Wednesday, confirmation class with Natalie at 4 p.m. Reminder of next Sunday's service schedule. Bible class will be held at 9 a.m. as usual. And the next Sunday's worship service, included in that service, we will have Wayne Bliss's Memorial Victory Service. Following the service, there will be a fellowship luncheon provided by the Women's Auxiliary. And then the Women's Auxiliary will have their meeting after that lunch concludes. Please come and join us for that special service next Sunday. Please check your mailboxes. There's the January calendar. I hope I remember to put 2024 on everything today in the bulletin and the calendar, but I've slipped up at least once this week where I started writing 2023 and I thankfully caught myself. So I will apologize in advance if it takes me a while to convert everything to 24. Are there any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.